You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. We are so thankful that you have chosen to join us right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we have been faithfully manning that post since December of 1992. God has done so many miracles in that time frame. In fact, over the past few weeks, we've had a number of testimonies that have come in about people with tumors and growths that the doctors had confirmed, and then the doctors couldn't find them. And so we are very, very thankful for that. One of them was in the lung. The other one was a female-related issue. And we are very grateful for God's healing touch. We got a lot of people that we're praying for. You should see our prayer list from time to time. It gets quite extensive. But the reason that we pray is not just because there are hurting people, but because there's a loving God that loves to minister to hurting people. He is the healer, and we are very thankful for that. So today we're going to go back to, we'll start reading the text that we launched into this study from. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 27. And it says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." And so there was a united opposition against the plan of God. It was quite extensive, but all of that opposition has limitations. So we talked about that in from the book of Acts, chapter 4. We talked about it in Genesis, chapter 11. And right now, we are looking at the book of Job. We're in chapter 38, and we are discussing when God starts asking questions of Job. Like I've said a number of times, a lot of people come up and say, "Look, I've got questions I want to ask God." And I will tell you that as a pastor, as a leader, I have discovered this question, or this reality, and that is, just because a person asks a question doesn't mean that they're entitled to the answer. They ask Jesus a lot of questions with the purpose and the intent of trying to trap him with his answers. And so sometimes he would say, "Okay, before I answer your question, I'm going to ask you a question. And if you answer mine, then I'll answer yours." And he knows what's in their heart, and they refuse to answer. And he says, "Then it's quite simple. I'm not going to answer your questions either." So when God starts questioning, that's an entirely different matter. He says, "I'm going to ask you questions, and you will answer me." And this is what he said about Job, whom he had very high opinion of, who he knew what was going on in Job's life to an even greater degree than what Job did. So you and I, we've got to live our life knowing that there is accountability that is coming. And if we position ourselves in opposition to God's plan, God's word, God's purpose, you just need to understand there's limitations that you're going to run up against a brick wall at some point in time, and you're either going to have to admit that you were wrong, or you're going to die in your sin. God doesn't want that. So, Job chapter 38. Let's look here. Let's begin reading in verse number 30. 36. "Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds of wisdom, Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Chapter 39, verse number 1. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young, or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill, or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring, their young ones are healthy, they grow strong with grain, they depart and do not return to them. We're going to stop reading at that point for just a moment. So yesterday we had concluded at verse number 37, where it says, who can number the clouds by wisdom, and who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? And the question I had is, I put God's question into words that we could understand, and that is, can you calculate the elements of the heavenlies and compel them to work at your command? Because God has no problem doing that. It's a very simple thing. When God speaks, things happen. When God speaks to angels and says, I've got a message I need you to deliver, the messenger does that and says, I'll be right back. When he said, let there be light, the stars in the heavens said, we're on it. When he separated the water and the dry land, they said, no problem. And so God has sovereign control over all of the heavenlies, and he can compel them to do his work at his command. Verse number 39 is where we really want to begin today, and it says, can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provide food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? The question that is being asked at this point in time is, Job, are you able to provide for all of the creatures of creation? Because I can. Because I can. At one point in time, my children asked us if we could get a dog. Now, I grew up in a dog household. We almost always had dogs. We would have more than one dog. We lived on the edge of civilization, so there was a country aspect as well. So we had a thoroughbred or a purebred Doberman. Beautiful, beautiful dog. My sister ended up having a couple more of those as she got older. We had a Dachshund. That was an interesting dog. But most of our dogs were dogs that people had decided that they could no longer take care of, and they would drop them off out on the edge of civilization, and those dogs would find their way to our house, and we would end up having dogs. I tell you, the smartest dogs we ever had were mutts. They, you know, people ask me, well, you know, what ethnicity are you? I said, I'm the United Nations. I'm Heinz 57. I couldn't really tell you one specific group to which I belong to. I'm a Caucasian, but there's a whole lot of mixture going on in the background back there, and so I just consider myself a mutt, if you will. I'm not pure Italian or my wife, she knows, you know, what she is. She's let's see if I can get this right, she's half of one and a quarter of two others, and so she knows the ethnicity that she comes from, but I just say, you know what, I am what I am, and that's what I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. So we always had dogs. My kids had never really had a dog. We had had some dogs when they were younger and we lived out in the country. But now there were three children, not one child. And my answer was, we are going to, I tell you what, we will get a dog as soon as we can afford to feed you kids. That was my answer. Raising children is extremely expensive. And, you know, I think every year somebody calculates how much it costs to raise a child from birth until they're 18 or possibly even out of college. I don't remember. But it is a very, very expensive thing. You see, because it's not just birthing a child, it's feeding a child. It is not just having a dog. You have to provide the food and the veterinarian care and all of that sort of stuff. And that brings us here to the question that God addresses, and he says, Job, are you able to provide for all of creation? Jesus said in the New Testament that God knows the sparrows, and he takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of the lilies of the field. If he knows how to take care of them, how much more will he take care of you? And so there's no question that God is able to take care of all creation. He said, can you do that? I remember watching a video one time. Back in the day, there was a department store, I believe it was in London, that used to sell lions. I'm not talking stuffed lions. I'm talking lion cubs. This would have probably gone back into the, I would say probably the 40s or the 50s or the 60s. And there were two guys that thought, wow, it'd be really cool to own a lion. And so they bought this lion cub and they raised it. But, you know, the problem with lion cubs is the problem that kittens have. Kittens grow up to be cats. Lion cubs end up growing to be lions, and they require a great deal of food. And it wasn't too long until these guys realized that this one lion cub was growing faster than what they could take care of it. And so they ended up donating the lion cub to a lion preserve, and there's a video out there, and I've watched the video, and they had not seen the lion for a year or an extensive time period, and then they go back to the lion preserve, and all of a sudden, the lion looks at them, sees them, and starts charging them. Now, about that time, I don't know about you, but I would be a little nervous. I get nervous when my grandchildren start running at me full speed. Because you got to prepare yourself. This lion was weighing several hundred pounds. It was a full-grown lion at this point in time. And just before he gets there, he kind of comes to a stop, throws up his paws, and just starts licking their face because they, at one point in time, had taken care of him, and he remembered them, bonded with them. I don't encourage this. I'm just telling you it happened in the past. And I know that there are some lions that have been trained and tamed and all of that sort of stuff. But this lion was now living out in a preserve in the wild on its own, and there was no guarantee that he would even remember them. There's an old expression where I come from, and it says, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. I want you to understand that in the Word of God, that he says that there's coming a time when animals that are enemies of one another in this current time period, that when God sits upon the throne and restores the earth to what it was supposed to be and humanity to what it was supposed to be, that those adversaries, that predator and prey relationship, it is going to be transformed, and they are going to be able to peacefully coexist. God says, can you provide? Can you provide for all of the fish in the sea? Can you provide for all of the animals on the land? Can you provide for the birds in the air? Can you provide for all of creation? Job was considered to be one of the richest men on the earth, and there's no way that he could do that. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care if you are a billionaire or a trillionaire. It would not take long for you to exhaust your financial resources just trying to take care of a small portion of creation. Whenever I watch a documentary and hear about some of the sea creatures that are taken care of in parks around the world, and hear about the hundreds or thousands of pounds of food that is required to keep these animals alive day after day after day, you'd say, man, I would hate to see what their grocery bill is. And God says this, I can do that. It doesn't cause any anxiety in God. It doesn't cause any financial duress. God not only takes care of humanity, he takes care of all of creation, which, like I've said before, I believe is one of the things that people forget to factor in whenever they're considering the doctrine of evolution, the theory of evolution, let me put it that way, and that is that everything that evolves, you know, in their minds, it would have had to have come together in the same place at the same time frame, because if a creature comes into existence and there's nothing to eat, it's bye-bye creature. It's bye-bye creature. And so God's, so let me just clear things up there. I don't have enough faith to believe in evolution, but I've got more than enough faith to believe in a God who loves me, created me in his image, created me for his purpose. And he says, not only am I your creator, God, I am Jehovah Jireh, and I will provide for you. David would say, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God can take care of you. So now we move over to chapter 39, verse number 1. It says, do you know the time when the wild mountain goat bears young, or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young, they bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring, their young ones are healthy, they grow strong with grain, they depart and do not return to them? Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the onager? Whose home have I made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. And so here the question, if you break these down to individual elements, there would be some people that would be able to say, yes, I'm an expert in that. You know, I'm so glad that when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to claim to be an expert on the life cycle and the ecosystem of the fire ant. That would be boring to me. Having been attacked by fire ants, having one embedded in your neck, I don't have a great fondness for the lovely little fire ant. Don't want them in my house. And I certainly don't want to spend my entire existence studying the beginning, the life, and the demise of an individual fire ant. But God is not just asking about one creature here. He's asking Job, do you understand zoology completely? He names off several different creatures here. And back in those days, there wasn't a lot of books available. There certainly weren't game preserves. There weren't trail cameras. There weren't zoos to study these things. He's asking him, do you have an innate knowledge of what it takes to cause this creature to survive and thrive in the environment in which it exists? So recently, I saw an article about a tree, and it supposedly went extinct 150 years ago. So I think that was the time frame, 150 years ago, until they found one that was alive. And it blew their minds. I don't know how that happened. They said, we can't explain why it's there. And so you know what they started doing? They started going around and gathering up all of these acorns of this tree. Every time they could find it, they wanted to keep it because they wanted to bring that tree back to a condition of thriving. So every once in a while, the same thing happens with sea creatures or with animals in the wild, where they are convinced that something has died and it is just the beginning of the end for humanity, because the last of this creation, this last creature of its kind, has now left a hole in the ecosystem. And yet here we are. And then every once in a while they find out, oh, I'm sorry, we just made a mistake. Saw a news article recently where they found a fish that was not supposed to be in a body of water, and they found it in that body of water, and all of a sudden they started freaking out. The same thing down in the Florida Everglades with Burmese pythons and huge snakes down there that don't really have too many predators that prey on them. And so God says, do you understand all of this zoological stuff? I was recently looking at a astrophysics news article about a star that they had found, and sure enough, they interviewed the same people that I had seen on documentaries, how the universe works and all of this sort of stuff. And it's like, do y'all really understand? If you're still making discoveries, are you ready to admit that you don't know everything yet? So God says, do you have a complete understanding of it? And Job's answer would be no. Now remember, all of these things, have you ever spoken without knowledge? Yes. Where were you at creation? Well, I wasn't around yet. Who determined creation's measurements? What foundation was used? All of those questions that we've talked about in the last several broadcasts, and Job would have had to have answered all of those questions, yes, in order for him to even come close to the things that God was addressing at that point in time. You know, he could have said, do you understand x-rays? Do you understand gamma rays? Do you understand antibiotics? Do you understand a whole bunch of things that weren't even around yet? And God's not even talking about breakthrough knowledge as far as he's concerned. He's saying these are all basic everyday things that God takes care of. And you want to challenge me. You want to position yourself in opposition. Listen, it's one thing when the people who don't know God set themselves in opposition to God. It's an entirely different matter when the people that claim to know and love him position themselves in opposition to God and think that they are more righteous than God. That's a whole different matter. So verse number nine, we're going to read quite a few verses here. It says, will the wild ox be willing to serve you? There's a lot of questions here. Let me go through some of them here. Verse number 4 of chapter 38, the question is where. Verse number 2 is why. Verse number or who. Verse number 5 is who. Verse number 6 is what. Verse number 7 is when. Verse number 8, the question is who and when. Verse number 9, when. Verse number 10, when. Verse number 11, when. Verse number 12, have you. Verse number 16, have you. Verse number 17, have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the, have you, again in number 18. Verse number 19, where? Verse number 21, do you know? How do you know? Have you entered? Have you seen? By what way? Who has? Has is the question in verse number 28. Who is the question in verse number 28? And the questions go on and on. Verse number 31, can you? Can you? Can you? Do you know? Can you? Can you? Can you send? Who? Can you? Who? Those are just the questions in verse number, or in chapter 38. I think that God has a great more knowledge. You know, I made this statement, omnipotent is greater than strong, and omniscient is greater than anything that we know. The fact that God knows everything, there's no comparison. You take the smartest person you know. I mean, they can quote all the celebrity trivia, movie trivia, financial trivia, news trivia. They know all of that, and they only know a small fraction of what God knows. I'm thankful for the things that I do know, but I am also thankful that all of eternity is not going to be boring. It's going to be a great time of worship, and it's going to be a great time where God does not say at that point in time, there's so much that I want to show you, but you can't handle it at this point in time. The responsibility that we have is not to position ourselves in opposition to God. The great privilege that we have is enhancing our spiritual relationship with Him and growing and understanding His love for us, His faithfulness, the fact He's always looking out for us and doing what is best for us, and say, God, would you help me to grow so that you can share even more with me? You know, I've got a number in front of my age bracket that I didn't used to have. It's not I never gave any consideration to making it to this age whatsoever. But I tell you what, I haven't stopped doing. I haven't stopped learning, and God hasn't stopped revealing. And I want to encourage you, don't position yourself in opposition to God. There's limitations there. But when you say, God, you're God, I'm not, you know everything, I don't, but I want to know everything that you want to pour into me so I can be a better servant to you and bring glory to your name. That's where we're going. I hope that you are on that same journey. It says, God, you're way smarter than I am, and I would just want to learn from you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Above. sees the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy.